Where were we? So, the pickleball store. So, where do you see it going, or where do you want it to go? What do you have a vision?
Oh, you have to have a vision when you're doing something like this. But when we first started, it was kind of like a hobby that's kind of just spiraled, and it's got to this place where, wow, the potential where it could go is just amazing. My ultimate dream, and the ultimate dream for the store, is that it becomes the number one store in the UK, and hopefully at some point in time in Europe. But we stock mainly the premier equipment. So we're the paddle special. I say we're the pickleball specialists in the UK. We want to be the best in terms of the knowledge of the paddles alongside the top end of, okay, this is the best equipment, stuff we know won't crack, break when you start to use it.
You'd have to get a trip out to the factory to see them being made.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love it. It's on the list, the bucket list.
It'd be great. It's always great to see how these things actually how they come together. So the biggest and a superstore?
A superstore. There is a pickleball superstore in America, I believe. Yeah. It's called Pickleball Superstore, which gets involved in a load of the different events out there. But yeah, I mean, who knows where it will go, but that is the dream, is in a few years' time be the number one store in Europe is the ultimate goal for us.
Putting a timeline on it, or just...
I can't give you an exact timeline. Obviously, it's there, but I don't want to say it on this, and then suddenly, 2 years' time, Andy, I've gone nowhere.
No, but there's nothing wrong with dreaming, and there's nothing wrong with... I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about people... We only talk about people's successes. They don't talk about people's failures, and if you don't fail, you never learn, and you've got to make some mistakes along the way, otherwise you get no experience, and it seems like you're on the right track.
What, so making mistakes?
No. With the pickleball store, having said that, I mean, I have confused you.
You wouldn't be the first.
Well, I hope you don't mind me telling this story. When I did, well, the first time I met you, not long ago, Arborfield.
Yeah, I remember clearly.
So if I can put this into a bit of context. So on the Friday, we as a club ran a Red Nose Day Picklethon. We thought it'd be a great idea to raise some money for Red Nose Day. And we're all friends now, aren't we, in our community. So on the day, I think one of your competitors, the father appeared at the Red Nose Day, which was great, and he donated a paddle. I don't even know what brand it was. So for us to auction at some point, just to raise some money. So he, I was talking to him about pickleball, and he said, oh, you need to speak to my son, da-da-da-da-da, which I'll keep him nameless for the moment. And that was that, really. A nice gentleman. And then I turned up at Arborfield. And for whatever reason, your competitors, you've got a word similar in the titles, which let's say, the pickleball store. And
So one word.
And I walked through the door. Now, you're sitting right in the entranceway with your banners up and your blue t-shirt on, as you are today.
To my right
was Simon Farr sitting at the table doing all what looked like all the work, while Steve was sitting there having a biscuit. I hope you see
he won't mind you saying that. I don't think,
anyway. So I think my opening line was, I walked through the door and I went, oh, I think I played with your dad on Friday. And you just looked at me with that glaze, and then Steve started chuckling in a chair like that. I started laughing. I was going, I don't know what Steve laughed at. I'm deadly serious. And I said, yeah, it was great to meet him. And I said, anyway, so you must be Freddie. And at which point you just looked at me, and I went, and Steve would just burst into laughter. And he said, you complete muppet. This is Lloyd. And I said, oh, it's the other shop, wasn't it? And he goes, yep. And you're very graceful. And at which point you did say to me that you've been confused with Freddie, and you've also been confused with Harvey.
Think we're all kind of similar age. I think I'm probably the oldest.
Are you?
Out of the three. But
Harvey's just a baby.
Is a baby.
About 22, I think.
That really confused me. I thought he was like 30.
Harvey, you look older.
Harvey.
He is, and he's a Pompey fan as well.
Good news for them recently.
Yeah, very good news. He's very happy.
I said, was my dad a good player?
I think you might have done, and it was very peculiar. You were very graceful. So, yeah, that was... But what I found out since was also that early on in the day, our club chairman and his wife had done a similar thing to you as well. And
Martin
and Sue confused you with Harvey, I think.
Yeah, Sue always confuses me with Harvey. So every time.
Sue and I were chatting about it the other day, who's just had a birthday, a big birthday shout out. And yeah, we were chuckling the other night about it because you take it very well. It's not the first time.
It's not happened. The first. It won't be the last time.
It
either.
Won't be the last. But they is it. It's, I can't remember what the saying is, but you know, imitation is the best form of flattery, isn't it? So, you know, if people are confusing you, you're leaving some impact on the world. So, no, great on you. So, singles, English Open, the Nationals. You getting involved with that this year?
As in exhibiting or
both?
It's difficult with Pickleball England. From a player perspective, amazing. Like, they do some really cool events, like the Open, like Nationals. Yeah. But from a store perspective, they're so tied in with one store in particular that, for our store, we don't really get involved with anything they do. It's unfortunate, and it's just something we've got to deal with and try and find pockets for expansion elsewhere, which is what we've done with the likes of Steve and... the PPL with Ed and Louis and Freddie. And
yeah, because the Grammy is growing exponentially, they say, because I think there's about 14,000, I keep quoting this number, 14,000 registered players last year.
Yeah.
They think 25,000 next year.
Oh, wow, okay. I'd imagine growing. There's way more than that in the UK. Well, it was like 14,000 on the Isle of Wight.
I think this is registered with Pickleball England. Okay. Which leads me to another conversation about the running of Pickleball.
Okay.
Have you heard the debate?
I have heard the debate.
You've heard the debate. Have you seen did you see the article that James Trowdy had in the Telegraph? So there was an article in there. There was obviously there's a petition because...
I saw the petition and obviously it's...
Yeah, so... I don't know. People are saying Pickleball is not officially recognised as a sport. It may be now, I don't know, with Sport England. And if you're not recognised as a out-and-out sport, you can't apply for funding. And... everyone wants the right association to run the sport. Now, do you have a view whether it's the LTA or Pickleball England? Are you on the fence?
I think whatever happens, you've just got to deal with whatever the outcome is and move on and try and find your way within it. Karen, Chris, the directors, like Martin's a director.
Martin
now, right?
Has now just become national director.
He has. Pep's the director. And yeah. Like they do such a good job of growing the sport and they're Pickleball through and through.
Yeah.
I know the arguments against why the LTA shouldn't take over. I know the arguments for why the LTA should take over. I know the arguments the other side for Pickleball England.
Yeah.
It's not something we're involved with. I think from a store perspective, like... In the last 3 months, you've seen a lot of tennis stores now trying to stock Pickleball equipment. And there is danger in that because they don't really give a crap about Pickleball. They just want to make a profit on the products and they undercut everything. So they come in like, right, this paddle needs to be this amount. So they're making basically they're just trying to undercut everyone else to make an impact. And then I think when the next sport comes around, if there is a next sport like padel, they'll just jump on that or...
Correct pronunciation. I was put right by Mr. Williams.
Were you?
I said paddle and he said, no, it's padel.
Padel, yeah.
Have you tried it?
I haven't, no. They were playing it in Spain when I was there and it looked amazing.
It's massive in Spain, isn't
it? There were some unbelievably good players. Oh, it doesn't look that hard, but I said that about pickleball and the first tournament I entered or the first game I entered, I got absolutely stuffed in doubles by 270-year-olds playing. They were...
What, pickleball?
Pickleball, yeah. They were so much better than, like, you go on and like, I've got this... And I think
Wise
it was like,
houses,
yeah, I know, they were amazing players. I'm hoping to see him soon. I think his name was Dave. Anyway, moving on.
Good old Dave boy. Dave. So you're not bothered. Well, you are not, but it's just I hear that Pickleball England have been doing such a great job that
I think
everyone's fear is it doesn't get swallowed up and then becomes an outcast, but something that LTA don't promise the investment and it doesn't get what it deserves.
Yeah.
And, because I just, don't know about you, I just see this sport has so many benefits.
Yes.
I mean, you are the youngest person I've had on the podcast. I've not had that many. No, actually, no, sorry. Maisie, I think, might be younger
is
than
she?
You.
Is she? Okay.
I think Maisie's younger than you. But, you know.
Before I had the mantle then.
No, well, the youngest male. How's okay. that? I think, or you.
Okay.
Well, it depends. Louis's about your age as well.
I think so. Louis and I are the same sort of age.
Yeah, I think so we are. Could be months apart.
I think he's October, is he?
I don't know. Maybe you could be sharing.
He's October, I think.
Is he? Well, we'll find out. I'll message him later, find out. Because then I can put it up here, youngest. We could have a Premier League or something. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there, where I was going with that. But yeah, so that the sport... Yeah, they've done such a great job and it doesn't just get pushed to one side. Because I've heard stories where, now, padel is under the umbrella of the LTA.
Yeah.
and they're not happy with what they were promised and how it, where it's gone.
Yeah.
But going, you know, you, the benefits of, but I was just saying, of pickleball is, I've come into it and I'm of a senior age.
Yeah.
Know, you could be my son, you know, son I didn't know I had, but
maybe, others, maybe.
In age difference. But, you know, there's an older generation, but it's a sport you can take up later in life and play. Yeah. And then you've got youngsters play. So you could like a bit like golf, I suppose. You could play from youth all the way through to the end of life, I suppose.
Yeah.
But what benefits have you seen from it, from sort of playing or from other people? What do you get out of it?
So just tracking back, I think you're absolutely right. It'd be such a shame for it to, like, I think we mentioned what padel was there and they're not happy with the way it's been. It'd be such a shame if that did happen.
Yeah.
And actually it was just a sport that was just under an umbrella that no one cared about, because there are so many people, including us two, that care
they
so
do
much
care,
about
exactly.
it. So it'd be such a shame for that to happen. And for me, on a personal level, like, it has been, it's changed my life. Like, it's been absolutely amazing, even just from a playing perspective.
Right.
Like, I've got some really good friends out of the side of it. A really good network of people all over, even on the Isle of Wight. I've met some amazing people of all ages that want to play. It's a really social thing. And I had that at university.
Yeah.
And then when I left university, you lose all that sort of social side and you kind of have to start from zero. And pickleball was like that. Like, you go to events, you see the same people there. You're like, oh, nice to see you. I haven't seen you in ages. So it's just like a really big family of people that love the same sport.
That's what I've heard about, like, the Open. I was talking to a guy, I don't know if you know Dan. Do you know Dan Chevraz? You met Dan?
No.
He obviously hasn't bought a paddle off you.
No.
Dan's got loads of paddles. Anyway, but he was just saying the Open, he said, it's not just about playing at the Open last year. He said it's just, the atmosphere was great.
Yeah.
And the people, I've been to a few tournaments with my wife, and you start to see
the
same old faces and the characters, and you start to learn. And that's what's lovely. It's like, it is a community feel.
Yeah.
I would love there to be a clubhouse somewhere, you know, where you could just turn up on any time of day and just go in and go, oh, I fancy a game of pickleball, and there's courts there.
So that is the dream for the store.
Yeah.
Oh, essentially we want a store in every part of the country with a place you can play pickleball.
Yeah.
And that would be the ultimate dream for me, but obviously capital behind sort of that investment, space of land and all that type of stuff plays, but
there's
you can
a few
dream.
Entrepreneurs out there with a few quid.
Yeah,
you know,
there are, but you can dream, right?
Contact us. No, listen, you have to have dreams, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but we're trying
shoot
to do that.
The stars and you go past the moon, you know that, you see.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
But we're trying to do that on the island as sort of like a test pilot. So one of the players I play with, a guy called Tom, has a really cool area. He owns a farm on the Isle of Wight, and we're trying to convert some space, hopefully in the future, to be able to have the store, the shipping side of it, and the ultimate kind of playing area so people can come in and play. And like that clubhouse you described, that would be the ultimate dream.
Wouldn't
to
be great.
Able to have that. But it might be a pipe dream. There's stuff in the process. It is moving forward.
I've heard that there's something happening around this area.
Is there?
Within a year, there should be something. Because up at Telford, there is a...
There is.
I think they've only got 3 or 4 courts.
Yes, they do. Yeah, yeah. It looks really cool, to be fair, what they've done at Telford.
Is that in the same centre where they...
It's not, no.
No, is it? It's local to that, is it?
Yeah, it's... I don't think it's too far away. But yeah, it's got 4 courts, the rollout mats they've got from the Open. So the first, I think, dedicated space to play pickleball, which I think... Well,
apparently it's working as a commercial venture at the moment.
So yeah, okay.
I believe so, which... Because, again, I've had these chats with others and people say in America you've got chicken and pickle and things like that.
Oh, that looks cool, yeah.
And I think similarly here, the only thing I can sort of... is like Topgolf, where you can go... You know, you go down a driving range, but it's a bit more than just a driving range. You know, you could virtual golf, bar, TVs, food. And maybe that's what that community can. Because one of the things we find at our club, we've got this wonderful social aspect. Even though we play in 5 locations, 6 locations, we have social events, but it keeps people together. But you are separated by your different nights of playing.
Yeah.
And we're struggling. We've got 80 members.
80?
80 now. I think they started with 30, and every year it's gone up. And we have a waiting list of 50.
Mm.
And it's, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Because if you don't allow more people in, then those 50 people And there are other clubs in the same problem, might go off and set their own club up. And then you're all fighting for the same spaces.
It's true.
So there is a need, I think, here. I don't know whether, I don't know, maybe we could be by a leisure centre and just convert it.
In Fleet, in Hook.
In Hook, anyway. I don't know what the answer is. I think there needs to be some investment. I think you probably need like a Premiership football owner, American, come over with a load of money and say, look. You mean
Ryan Reynolds to come over with,
Yeah, this is just a venture. Don't worry, a spare cash.
I think I think it won't be long before those that have built like what the PPA tour is, like what the MLP is. I don't think it'll be too long before they come over and start building premises and seeing the potential that the UK does have. I mean, you've got a Decathlon in London that now have dedicated courts you can rent out.
What, the shop?
Yeah, there's one place in London you can go and play in Decathlon. I think they've got these massive pillars, so you can't do any ATPs or anything like that, but you can go in and rent some time to play pickleball in London. So it is happening, and there's Park Sports Leisure. Those guys do a lot in terms of tournaments, festivals. They've got dedicated courts. So there is stuff happening.
Yeah.
It's just how long will that take? And like you say, investment, you've got 50 on a waiting list. On the island, I don't know how I get involved in this sort of stuff, to be honest, but
Mr. Pickleball.
Mr. Pickle, I think it's the... Don't quote me on that.
This is why I got the podcast. Yeah. What a pickle the pickleball game is in at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think I somehow have got myself into a bit of a pickle, to be fair. People now look to me to run like club sessions down on the island. We've got a group of about 80 to 100 people that want to play pickleball, and they're like, oh, when are you booking the next one? I'm like, okay.
Are you qualified coach?
I am. So, well, loosely, I did the IPTPA level one.
Join the club.
Yep. Yeah, you've done it as well.
So available if you want some help, you know.
I think I do, to be honest. I thought, you know what, let's book some space, let's get some more playing, just so we can play at a higher level. But actually what it has done is done the opposite. We've got some brand new people that have seen it online or really wanted to learn to
play. Need some coaching as well.
But they come in and don't know how to hold the paddle, or they don't really know what the rules are. So you end up spending your whole time coaching, which is amazing because you can see the potential as it has. Yeah. But I'm like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I started because I wanted to play more, and then actually you end up coaching more. Yeah. What a pickle, eh?
Thank you. The first person, Lloyd, actually, what a pickle. That's great. Because that's why the name was there. It's not just about pickleball, because I thought if pickleball does just drop off the face of the earth, I could talk about other sports.
Yeah.
You know,
what a
pickle, you know. Yeah. What a pickle the island's in, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that is in a pickle, but that's a different podcast.
I don't know about you. I mean, it's often you get into something. I mean, all my life, I've sort of always had ideas in my head, never manifested them early enough. Yeah. And you think 3 or 4 months later, or a year later, you go, someone's doing something. I thought about that and you didn't do it. And now I just feel that we're in a, I don't know if it's a genre or whatever it is, we're on a journey right now where the world is its oyster. I think it could go, I don't know, just go so far, so big. And I think it's attracting the right people.
Yeah.
You know, youngsters and stuff. And, you know, even, you know, it's great. I think it was at Molly who ran this Femme, just all ladies, and she's doing another one in September, and it was a great success. And, you know, there's not enough ladies in the game, because I think people are finding hard to find female partners in the gender doubles and mixed doubles partners. They're trying to find difficulty, which is great to get more women involved, get more men, get more youngsters involved. And, you know, there's a disabled, you know, wheelchair league, which is fantastic. You know, great for your mental health.
Yeah.
That's what I feel as well. When you play, I don't know.
Oh, massively. Yeah.
You're in the moment, aren't you?
Oh, it's a massive relief. I mean, obviously you've got the high intense playing, but at the same time, there is nowhere else you'd rather be than on a pickleball court. Right. And that for me has been like the biggest saving grace, particularly with,
it's not easy running a business.
No. I mean,
you've got a lot of pressure, even though you might not think there is.
Yeah. Yeah. You do. I mean, you wouldn't do it if you didn't love it. Like, no. I absolutely love it. And I think starting and seeing it grow has been amazing. Like, stepping into it, I think, would have been a bit harder. But actually seeing it from kind of, you've been able to decide in a direction to take it.
It's your baby.
Yeah, it feels like a baby to me.
Yeah, no, but that's great. It's Entrepreneur of the Year, you know.
I don't see myself as an
Dragon's
entrepreneur.
Den. We'll get you on Dragon's Den. Yeah.
First is podcast, next Stephen Bartlett's Diary of a CEO.
Well, you can be on his.
Stephen, if you're watching this.
Stephen, if you are watching this.
Yeah. Maybe he's a keen pickleballer, we don't know.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? There are some so-called celebrities that are playing it. I believe our club secretary, Rachel, tried to get... Jeremy Clarkson down to Red Nose Day, and he was busy, but he did get an invite, and his PA did say that he was too busy, but he would have loved to have come. I'd be interested to know in the UK who are the big sort of celebrity names that do play it, apart from obviously Louis and Thalia. But you know, there are some, because I don't know if have you heard the story of Thalia and Louis when they went to Jamie Foxx's house?
I have, yeah. In America? Yeah, it's a renowned story down at Southampton Pickleball.
Is it?
Down at David Lloyd, everyone speaks about it
they were there.
They were there.
Everyone's been there.
You had to be there. Like, great. I missed it.
Yeah, because Ivan Lendl plays, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know who's big name in the UK. Have you heard of anybody that you would like to see or could get down and get involved? A celebrity?
Yeah. Well, like, is this who I've heard playing or who I'd like to play with?
Both. Heard both.
Oh, crikey, that's hard. I could tell you a story about surfing with someone, but not...
Oh, please do.
not pickleball.
Someone famous.
Someone, yeah, so...
would I know who they were?
You would know who they were. I can tell you the story if you like.
Oh, please,
it's storytelling time. Basically... obviously a surfer, we went out in the morning during Easter half term last year, paddled out to the
paddled,
back.
I like the link to paddle. So you can't keep away.
I can't, it's everywhere. Paddled out to the back of the set. Paddled out to the back of the set. And there was only about four or five of us in the sea at the time. The first four got a wave in, or three got a wave in, and I was still out the back, and this guy paddles past me. I'm like, right, okay. He says hello. Oh, sounds familiar.
Like, what, the voice?
You recognise the voice from somewhere, but I'm not sure where. And then he comes over and starts talking about surfboards. And I'm like, Benedict Cumberbatch.
No. Really?
This is so surreal. And then we
did
start
you realise
surfing.
Straight away?
It took me a while to kind of clock. It was, hello. And I didn't realise he was a surfer. Dr. Strange, what are you doing here? And a really, really nice guy. And obviously just talking about surfboards and the love for surfing. He was like, I've only been surfing since I was 40 and stuff like this. Like a really good conversation about different types of surfboards.
Does he live on the island? Was he just
He lives everywhere. I think he got married on the island. So I'd assume there's like places. But it was just so random to like, you go out there for like mental health and to be able to... spend some time in the sea, and actually you go out there and it's like Dr. Strange on a surfboard. And one of the days he turned up in a Dr. Strange t-shirt.
Oh, really?
His car, yeah. So I'd like to play pickleball with him if he ever got into it.
You didn't exchange numbers then?
We didn't, no. No, I didn't get invited to the barbecue.
Maybe you should reach out over social media.
Yeah.
So talk me through social media for you, because one of the things I'm hoping is that pickleball is like... the genre that's playing with me at the moment is a fairly older demographic.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage youngsters to get involved, which is great. But on the other side, maybe through this, some of the older demographic might get more involved with social media. So, I post stuff on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook for the older generation, and also YouTube now. I notice you do quite a lot.
Yeah. I'd say that takes up most of the time. Like sales, marketing, it's more my kind of thing. So what was the question? Sorry, before I dive into it.
No, because it's the importance of social media, because obviously of your age group, you've grown up in a different world to us. You know, I don't want to become one of these old funny days, but I think there's always a place for everything. You know, world evolves, doesn't it? And you have to embrace it all. And then there are the tools of social media. And I would think, you know, I noticed that, you know, kids don't watch TV like we used to. Everything's streamed nowadays. So they use their phones for everything. So that's why they're on Instagram and they see everything through that window. But you use it quite a lot.
Yeah.
But where I'm going with this is that my age group or the above the older ones don't use it as much. So from a marketing sales point of view, your target audience at the moment, because in the UK, certainly, the age group is older, and I don't think they're on Instagram and TikTok as much or as many as they are. So how are you finding it?
To be honest, I love creating content, and it's so, so important. Like, I had Lou Stevens actually come up to me, and she was like, I learned so much from watching your Pickleball videos. She was like, I didn't know any of this about paddles. Like,
well, I've learned that today. Carbon fibers and sandpaper.
Don't use sandpaper. But attach that to
your paddle. I might try, actually.
One of these, actually. Yeah. Get Harvey. Let's get some sandpaper on these if you're watching. So you've got to engage them first, and hopefully the stuff we create is engaging. Secondly, entertaining. I try and do it with an upbeat personality, and hopefully that's what I bring to some of the content we create. And then they've got to find it useful, otherwise no one will watch it. I'm still finding the feet around content, but I think a lot of people, particularly like you mentioned, like the older demographic, still want to know a load about paddles, but how do you do that easily?
Yeah.
So with what we do, we make videos for YouTube so people can come on, click on the paddle they like, and then there's a video around that paddle. So it's usually just me talking about it, like this is made out of
this. Are they on your website as well?
Yeah. So there's obviously you're always doing it. There's new paddles every 2 months, but it's a lot to do.
Yeah.
As you know from making content yourself.
I mean, this is the thing is, these don't just...
No.
I'm very fortunate in the fact that I can sit here for an hour and a half, and then I can just hand it over to my son, and then a week later it's been posted. But I understand. But even the preparation beforehand, thinking of what, we're going to talk about,
exactly.
And I know the lads, people go, they're 1 minute videos. So, big shout out, OG boys, go and watch them. But, they're 1 minute videos, can take two or three days because they go out and film in an afternoon, and then they have to come back, edit it, recut it, and write the scripts as well.
Yeah.
And, it's all seamless when it comes out for a minute on TikTok or YouTube or whatever, but there's a lot of work that goes behind it. So I can imagine even seeing you with your phone stick at Arborfield, that, going out for 5 minutes isn't just a 5 minute recording, is it?
But it's so appealing to, like, when we started, we're like, right, what can we do that's different to what anyone else does? And I truly think and really believe that what we do is completely different to any other store in the UK in the way that we break down how paddles are made and try and make it easy for the consumer to buy one. For example, if they want to find out more about this, what do they need to know? What do they need to look for? Whether that's through the 1 minute videos we create or whether that's through the 14 minute ones of me talking about balls and what balls people should be using. There should be enough on there so people can make a more informed decision. We also spent quite a lot of time. We've got a paddle recommender. I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
There's a paddle recommender.
I need to go on your website and see watching your videos.
Yeah. So a paddle recommender on the website. And you basically put in what experience you've got, what sort of handle you like long handle, short handle, what weight you like from a paddle. Do you suffer from elbow problems, that sort of thing?
Do you simplify it as in sort of light, medium and heavy, right? As opposed to 28 grams or whatever? I don't know.
It's all simplified. It's to try and make it as easy as possible for people to go through it. And you get, at the end of it, you go through, right, I want to feel the ball more through a paddle, or I want more spin.
Yeah.
And there's about 13 questions. You get through them and it recommends a list of paddles based on what answers you provided. And then the idea then is you've got a more informed decision to make on those paddles. And then if you've got any questions, that's where we come in to be able to talk to you about, okay, this is the difference between these two. They're all at different price points.
Yeah.
And then hopefully that gives you, as a consumer, as a person who to buy a paddle, an easier decision to make rather than looking at a website that's got 120 different options.
That's what Alton Sports do with running shoes. A lot of them do it now, but you turn up and they just put you on a treadmill first, and then they watch you run, and then they go, right, you've got this pronation or that. And then they bring out loads of different trainers and they go, these are the ones that suit your running style.
Yeah.
They don't talk about price. And then you put them on and you try them, and then
then
they go, that one's £150 or that's two.
Yeah.
But it's having the... it's having the right tool to start with and then looking at the budget. You know, if you if you go for gold standard first, and then you can come down and then sort of work your way backwards. Because it's really, I always, even when I was in the building game, it's like, it's really hard. If you start low level, it's always hard to sort of shine it up. You know, if you start up here, even have your wish list of what everything you want, see what that outcome is. And then if the money is an option in your budget, then you work your way down from there. But start with your wish list. You know, do you want to, I don't know, do paddles come in lots of fancy colours now?
Not as many, because T700 is like black. It looks like this. Most of the faces look like that.
What, the product, the sort of raw product?
Yeah, the carbon fibre mostly is black from what you see most companies. They put some cool graphics on it, but most of them these days will have colourful handles and edge guards. But like my first or second paddle, which was like a Falcon, which was bright blue, like they don't do those anymore unless you buy a graphite one where they've got overlays and stuff. But
I want to hold on to them because they could be
I know.
Iconic in years to come. Maybe we could put them up on the wall here, you see, and we go, there's nine. We'll be sitting here in 20 years' time going, so that was in the, what are we now, in the 20s?
Yeah.
You know, and then
we make one of these.
The noughties. Yeah, well, with that, yeah, so that, I only got that out today, but it's amazing. It's 1965, the year of my birth, up to now. And it was updated on Pickleball England. But for those watching, you can see this on Pickleball England website, but it is the history of pickleball starting in 1965 and up to 2023, which says the first Open was held outside of America, you know, in here. Which also, you know, the European Open is in Southampton in November.
Yeah, with Steve.
But the European Open.
European Federation.
European Federation holding their Open here. David Lloyd, I think, in Southampton in November. And there's a tournament before, pre-tournament. So that's quite a biggie, I believe. I think it's common knowledge. There's a website where you can go and join. So, do you know, we've been talking for over an hour, which always seems to happen, which is great. I have no qualms if you're in a hurry. But
no, I'm not. Not in a hurry.
So I just put down some pointers here and I just thought, right, greatest achievement so far.
What, within the store? Or in life?
I mean, it's a pickleball chat, but, you know, in life, I mean...
Okay.
I think marvellous what you've achieved.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, just seeing where we are now as opposed to 18 months ago when I was phoning companies, I just would not have pictured this. And the fact that because of the content we make, companies that come to us that are massive in America are like, we really want to stock with you. That in itself is amazing, considering 18 months ago, I was there trying so hard to get them involved. And now they're like, we want to come to you because we like the stuff you're doing with the content, with the videos and the way that you talk about paddles.
Yeah.
Like they've got life, basically.
Well, I think there's always room in any industry for specialization, you know.
Yeah.
And if you really believe in something, and, you know, it will always be successful, you know. And that's what I miss about, you used to be going down a high street and there was a traditional sports shop and it was independently run and you could walk in. And I have a joke with an old mate of mine who lives in Australia, but it's like, I don't know if you've ever heard of a jock strap, you know?
But,
you know,
cricket days.
But, you know, where do you buy a jock strap these days? You know, there are no independent sports shops. And if you walked in,
sad, isn't it, really?
If you walked into one of the big biggies now and said to one of the attendants there, they go, and they look at you, go, what is a jock strap, or, you know, gum shields or anything, you know, just that the sort of personal, the true sportsman wants to go in and he wants to be looked after.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's great. And I hope you go from success to success. I mean, it's,
thank you very much.
I think you're on the right track. You've got the right attitude. I think your personality.
Thank you.
You're a very warming individual.
Thank you.
So highlights apart from sort of the growth of you?
I mean, I can give you a university one.
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, obviously the store is one thing, and like how far that's come has been absolutely amazing. But the other part of what I do is mentor student founders.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think I will continue to do.
Was that something you studied?
So I went to university to become a director. I really wanted to become a film director, which is what helps with content.
Next week, I think you can come and direct the podcast.
I absolutely love films, anything by like obviously Steven Spielberg and all the kind of big like Christopher Nolan and directors, and that's where I wanted to take things. But actually, when I was at university, I fell in love with entrepreneurship and making things. So I made my first product when I was just before university, 17, and then launched it when I was at university as a store. And that was like my first failure.
A product?
Remember, without failures, you don't have success. Yeah, so I made some caps. It sounds really silly, but I basically used to hand make my own jewelry and import hats from America that I really liked, and then would walk across Winchester whilst at university to get like logos and stuff embroidered and stuff, like the labels attached inside to the hats. And then I'd sell them on, send them to influencers, and failed miserably doing it. But that was my first love for it. I made a bit of money, but I just absolutely loved the process. And did some weird, like for a photo shoot, for example, I was like, right, I need to get these pictures taken off the products.
Yeah.
And the first thing, I was like, right, okay, I've got a friend that does photography. I'm going to go and ask him. So went into his class and just said, do you want to come and do some photos tomorrow for the brand? It's going to be a nice day. Yeah, sure, it's fine. I need to help my portfolio. And I was like, right, I need a model. I can't just be in every picture.
I need a model as an individual.
So I just went up to some random person in the gym and said, would you like to be a model for me tomorrow? And they were like, yeah, sure, go for it.
Was this male, female?
This is a male model. And we had one female model as well, but I knew her. So she was on board beforehand, but the male model was just a random guy in the gym that never met before.
And he had to put these hats on.
And I said, can you model a hat tomorrow at 12? And he's like, sure, it's fine. I'll pick you up. So I picked him up. We all went down on my little car down to some really cool places in Winchester, took some pictures. And the pictures were amazing, to be fair, to the photographer. And that was like the first real thing.
Have you thought about doing this with your equipment, you know, getting some models and doing a photo shoot?
Yeah, so we've done not with some of like the big brands like Diadem. They obviously sell Kirk, Diadem,
yeah,
Yola have their athletes they take pictures off, but we've just launched our own product, which I'm going to give to you now, which is a present for coming on the podcast.
Very kind of you.
So it's our own Team Pickleball Store premium paddle cover, bit of a mouthful,
yeah,
but
suits. Fits all.
It fits all, mostly. Yeah, no, it does fit all. It some of the larger elongated paddles are quite a tight fit, but they all do fit.
That's great, because actually I don't always want to carry my bag along. So
yeah,
that's very kind of you. Thank you.
That's all right.
Now, the reason I ask is, so the other half of the OG boys, Charlie, he did a bit of modelling in the early days and stuff. And, you know, just all of that, you know, did a sports science degree, and Mikey did business. And look at where they're at. You know, it's the thing that's the least you expect happens, and
yeah,
then you just go on that journey and go with it. And I think it's wonderful. So that was your highlight then. So at uni, your caps, because
at university, yeah, my caps, and then I fell into international logistics because ended up shipping stuff around the world, which has helped massively in this, because if stuff gets stuck like one parcel got sent to France by accident, how do you get it from France to the UK, and how do you get your
your marketplace then, it extends far away?
No. That's it, it's mainly it's UK at the moment.
So France was your furthest so far, is it?
So France wasn't supposed to go there. The company shipped it to France by accident,
right?
And it's like, right, okay, how do we get it from France to the UK? And problem solving in logistics is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
But I used to do it for a mining company. So for me, it's been a bit easier.
Yeah.
It's still obviously, you know, oh God, how are we going to get this from here to here? But it's fun. It's actually quite fun to do. But that's helped massively. So there's a lot of things that are kind of falling into place to get to this part.
Yeah.
And the caps is one of them. And now being able to support students is another really rewarding part of what we do. Sorry, I went on a massive tangent.
No, that's what you were talking about, uni. So, yeah, you're mentoring.
Yes, yeah.
These are students studying business.
Anything. It can be someone that wants to be an artist,
right?
To anyone, like I was saying earlier, that wants to we've had a couple of students. I want to create a rocket propulsion system that revolutionizes. We've been speaking to NASA and they're like, right, okay, how do we help the student?
I tell you, I probably can put him in touch with someone.
Okay. Okay.
As an aside, because my stepdaughter, she runs a web business and digital advertising and all that sort of stuff. But one of her clients is a company called Pulsar.
Okay.
And they specialize in jet propulsion in outer space.
See, so connections.
But strangely enough, myself and a friend of ours, she and a couple of other kids, she got us up there for a promo video for his company. We had to sit in white labs and it was on YouTube. But no, but this is about propulsion. And it's amazing how what a small world it is.
I know.
But if you look up his company called Pulsar, and it's run by a gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he used to be on Made in Chelsea. But his passion.
Oh, really? Okay.
His passion is like jet propulsion and stuff. And he's got this business up in near Milton Keynes. And he's got a factory up there. And they're big into NASA. They had an American YouTuber come over and film them while we were there. So, yeah, it's a small world. But that's how the world is. But that's great because I suppose youngsters, I mean, when you started, did you on your own. Did you have any mentors?
What do you mean? This?
Well, both, because it seems like you're, if I get this right, the people at the uni who don't think they could start in business, but they can.
Yeah.
And you sort of say, look, I'm your age. Look,
yeah.
This is how you get it going. Just go with it.
Yeah.
Did you just like go with it? Or did you have like guidance, mentoring, or did you just sort of learn?
Initial days were just, I've got an interest in making things and would just make, like I said, necklaces and get the hats imported and stuff like that. And never really saw it as anything. And then I met a guy who was a entrepreneur and I was like, wow, this is amazing. He was doing stuff with YouTubers in London.
Yeah.
A guy called Paul Wallace, Supercars of London. And I was just like, wow, the potential of where you can kind of take it if you go after it.
Yeah.
So I went on like a less traditional thing. I didn't get a graduate job or anything like that. I just kind of stumbled my way through trying to find something I was interested in. And then obviously going to America and falling in love with pickleball. I was like, this is amazing. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
So COVID was a good thing for you in a way?
Ish.
Not the illness and all
not
that.
Not the illness. Yeah, that was terrible. But
it's the same for my lads. I think out of COVID, this is what came for them. Yeah. You know, it's like... Yeah. A journey that they didn't expect. It's strange what you do. You look inwards, really, in adversity sometimes, and out of adversity, it always comes good, isn't it?
Yeah,
always.
Exactly that.
Oh, it's fantastic. So, what do you do to chill? I mean, you surf?
Surf, yeah.
What else do you do?
I don't surf as often as I like to now, to be honest. To be honest, pickleball for me is how I kind of relax. I play 3-4 times a week.
Oh, really? Okay.
The players at home and. If you've got to kind of scratch the itch, haven't you, when it comes to pickleball, you're like, I need to play. And I haven't played this week, which is really bugging me. So I'm like, I need to play tomorrow. So that's the play. But that's what I kind of do to mainly relax, I'd say. I'm kind of always on. And you always have to be when you're trying to grow something and run it.
Yeah, I suppose because it's an online business. So you've sort of, orders can come at any time of day or night.
I mean, obviously when we're in the store, it's a little bit different because you're there, you're in it, but... When you're outside of that and the store's closed and the orders are coming still, you're like, right, okay, how do we deal with that? And you're always on, always responding to customers. There are always questions to answer about paddles, about balls, and you try and help as many people as you can.
You leave your mark. That's the important thing. And you're accessible. And I think that's what consumers, I think, certainly sort of in our age, people ring up and they talk to a computer and actually they want to talk to a human.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better than we are social beings.
Yeah.
We are born to be social beings. We interact with humans and look at we're at our best when we are talking to each other. That's why I want to do this as well. This is what I enjoy. It's fun, don't you? I know.
Yeah.
Like you just go on a journey and you just see where it goes. I mean, I didn't think that we would be talking for an hour and a half.
No, neither did I. So but, you know, I think you probably
good luck, Mikey, with the editing of this. But you know, but no, but that's the great thing is having a conversation. People don't do that anymore. You know, we are consumed by our phones. I think we had a wonderful, it's an aside really, but my wife and I went to watch Mickey Flanagan up in London, great comedian. And you go into the O2 and they take your phones off you. And so we went into a bar within the O2 and all your phones are put in like these envelopes that you hold on to, but you can't open them. They're sort of electronically
really?
Locked.
Okay, that's interesting.
And there were all these couples sitting, having a drink, just staring at each other.
Didn't
know what to say. Eventually the ice broke, but you know, normally they're all sitting there like this, you know.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
And going like that, you know, yeah. Looking like that. And that's the world we sort of live in. But
yeah.
But yeah, no, I think we need to communicate more. Look, I'm going to wrap it up. But it's been great meeting you.
Oh, and you.
And I will not confuse you anymore with any of the others. I will always take stock. And thanks for your time.
That's, like I say, you won't be the last.
I probably won't be the last. But hey, but look out for the pickleball store. Go on there. And if you do want to paddle, I think all the info's on there.
Yeah, all the info's on there. If not, just reach out to us, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, whatever.
It's not just paddles you're selling, is it?
Mainly paddles. We do nets, balls, bags. We're constantly getting new brands in at the moment. Right. I think that this year is just going to be massive in terms of some of the brands we're getting in. And already Yola, Gemfree, massive, like their new paddles. All this stuff is kind of coming this year. So it's been an amazing journey. See where it takes us. I'm excited.
Good. I wish you all the best and all the luck. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you so much, Andy.
Cheers.
Cheers.